Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome to Webcology here on webmasterradio.fm. It is the 6th of September, 2018. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. And it was an eventful week in search. And I want to start the show, Dave, with telling our audience how lucky they are. How very, very lucky they are. For three reasons. Number one, we were wrong. Okay.
I don't like how this story starts, Jim.
Number one, we were wrong. Number two, you actually have people who will do this for you. And number three, profit. No, I forget. What was number three? I forget what number three was. Number three was something like, oh my God, you don't have to like go and redo everything. But earlier this week, you and I were both involved in an interesting exercise when a fairly well-known SEO found a problem with a that he thought originated in a really popular WordPress plugin.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say really popular, I'd say if WordPress is about 50% of the sites on the web, this plugin is probably running in about half of those sites. Would that be kind of close to accurate?
I would say that's probably about right, yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to give away the plugin. I don't want to say nothing bad about the plugin. It wasn't the plugin anyway, okay? So we were wrong. So you're all lucky. But this SEO found a problem and started testing the problem and trying to find commonalities. And the very first thing he found was that all the sites that were using the specific plugin weren't being cached properly by Google. So that's a bit of a freak out. He did some more experiments, got another friend to do some experiments, then called me and Dave. He called us both, were around the same time, and we started doing some experiments on sites that we were responsible for based on the information that he gave us, and we confirmed what he had seen. So we're all starting to like go, oh my God, this is a huge problem. Like if we release this problem, how do we talk about this publicly? There'll be web panic if we do. Could you imagine that if like one quarter of all the webmasters had to update their websites like now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Netflix or Pornhub wouldn't work. All the bandwidth would be gone. it would be crazy. Like dogs and cats falling from the sky. It would be nuts. Anyway, at this point, we bring it out to the slightly wider SEO community when somebody smarter than all of us put together, Barry Schwartz, says, hey, I don't think that's the problem at all. The problem is actually a function of getting into the mobile first index. There won't be a cache of your website because it's essentially a new index. Therefore, your website isn't cached. But there is still that fetch and render problem that I can't get my head around.
There is. And one of the things, and I think for our listeners in the audience who may have done this, I mean, because we had Yumi, a couple of our other friends, Roger Monty was there, you know, and I'll just say, and Jeremy, right? Like Jeremy, the four of us were all all together, I'll just say it. And Jeremy, hey, thanks for including us, buddy. Came in, and Jeremy had found a connection and brought it to us, and responsibly didn't go shouting from the rooftops when, okay, I'm going to pull in some other people that I trust here. And then all of us start ransacking things, trying to figure out things like version numbers, and we found some commonalities there. When we figured that wasn't it, I ended up looking at some of the code. I was like, oh, okay, and interesting coincidence, it was one that didn't have the ISO language codes, weren't cached, yeah, when I was doing and ones that were. And I think it's a great reminder for myself certainly, of that, and we've had this age-old conversation, right? Coincidence, causation, causality, right? Like, these are not the same thing, and this was a great example of that, where we were looking for, and we should, it was our job to be looking for common traits so that you can start to figure out what might be going wrong, but I was in my head naturally starting to make conclusions and saying, no, I was actually wrong. Barry, as you wisely pointed out and credited, came forward going, no, and I wrote about it. Here it is. Here's an article where we kind of talked about this a little bit. You know, but my natural instinct to go, oh, okay, it's not. And that was after we'd concluded, okay, it actually has nothing to do with this popular plugin. Okay, oh, now here's another trait. And in my head, naturally, and I know better, I was starting to make conclusions. And then heard from Barry, and I'm like, oh, well, I must have been wrong. Well, I shouldn't have ever been making conclusions to begin with. So a good reminder for me and anybody else in the audience, if you start to see common traits, coincidence does not equal causation. And I was doing it myself, and I know better.
But for what it's worth, it was a good clue and absolutely worth following, even if it ended up being, you know, a red herring and we went down the wrong trail.
Oh, indeed.
The point is, oh my goodness, if we were right, you'd have been so screwed, everybody. You'd have been also, you have no idea how screwed you would have been.
But, you know, I mean, it's worth, I guess, now we're talking about this, it's worth letting our listeners know, if your site isn't being cached, but it is still ranking, like you can, you know, I was able to grab a sentence from it, put it in quotes, and yep, you would see it in the description, right? It would show you, like, clearly it's indexed, but it's not caching. If that happens, it's not you, it's them. You're okay.
Okay, now, again, there is still one thing I'm curious about that I haven't wrapped my head around. So we found, yeah, that these sites weren't being cached in Google's cache. Barry's extraordinarily plausible and 100% true reasoning was, well, this happens with the new Google mobile index. If it's a new index, there won't be a cache for them to be in. This new website, this first look of the website is the cache. You know, that there will be the cache.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the ones that wouldn't render properly. I still can't figure that one out. So there's some weirdness in the mobile index. It's not, they aren't rendering. You know what would be a cool experiment? And this actually should be, I'm going to do this during our first commercial break. I was going to open Search Console and try to render a bunch of sites. I won't have time during the break, but maybe by second break, I'll have an answer. Because that weirded me out still. And I haven't actually pursued that, but, yeah, the sites wouldn't be rendered by Google properly, and I can't, again, if anybody out there smarter than me knows why the mobile index is having a weird time rendering things, I'm curious about that.
Yeah, indeed. And you know what, you bring up an interesting point, and I got distracted. You know, pesky clients, we need you to do work for the money we pay you. And got distracted from it, but that is a real curiosity. And we'll get into it more a little bit later in the show, what some of the problems were with the fetch and render, because both of us were hitting problems with it that I hadn't hit previously.
There was you, me, Roger, Jeremy, Barry jumped in. I'm pretty sure that Jenny Haslis was looking in at some point or another. I know Christine was looking in at some point. So this is about maybe 3 to 4 hours of investigation from these people in the industry, and it just struck me while this was going on how absolutely cool it was that, you know, like some pretty hardcore technicians will drop everything to take a look at this at a perceived problem and then, you know, try to come to some group conclusion.
Yeah, you know what, it's one of those things. It's just I love it about our industry. Part of it is just the nature of this industry where there are unique problems like the one that we were facing, where it doesn't serve me to have the only solution, right? Like where we all know a lot of smart people. I call most of them friends on Facebook. Well, okay, there's a lot of smart people who aren't my friends on Facebook, but you know, there's, you know, we collectively can go, oh, okay, I have a problem. I don't have my own brain. I can gain, but I don't have to lose by having other people gain as well. So we collectively group together and go, okay, let's solve this problem. Then we'll all have the solution. right? And now we're all better off, right? Rather than going, oh, okay, I should have the solution, but I want to hide it, right? Like trying to work individually, none of us would get the job done, or if we did, it wouldn't be as fast. So it is just one of those things that I love about our industry. I don't know if it's because we're not competing with each other, even when we are, or whether it's just we're a fairly tight-knit community that's happy to sort of go, yeah, okay, fine, I don't have to lose just because you win, right? Like, let's get this done as quickly as possible so my client wins faster.
Well, indeed, but also, if there's a problem, like, honestly, at that scale, if this really was a problem at that scale, how to say, I was trying to explain this to Shauna, my girlfriend, like, why we have to be cautious about, before we had decided we had solved that this wasn't the problem. Mm-hmm. I was trying to explain to Shauna why we got to be really cautious about telling people about the problem, because if again, with the degree to which people would have freaked out and immediately gone to make changes on their website, you had to be 1,000% absolutely sure before saying anything.
Yeah. Oh yeah, especially when you might be throwing a plug-in under the bus. And of course, you know what, I'm going to call an embarrassment and go, hey everybody, sometimes it's good to have a bunch of your friends look at your site. I used mine because it is in WordPress as an example. And Roger's like, you know, you got two canonicals, and you know that they're, one of them, you know, has the backslash. One. Okay, so I not only did I have two canonical tags, but one of them was wrong.
That was
funny, actually. Just like, oh my goodness. So folks, you know, it might every now and then be a good to have somebody you trust, one of your peers, you know, fire through your code and catch some stupid stuff. Of course, we each get blind to our own scenarios, right? And I don't even look for things I know are problems five versions ago.
I'm telling Jeremy, I'm pretty sure that we're going through version numbers of the plugin, and I'm telling him, I'm pretty anal about keeping things like updated. My team will have, it'll be the latest version, I guarantee you. My team will have done the updates, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like 5 or 6 versions back. that was embarrassing. That was somebody got a good talking to for that too, by the way. Thanks, Jeremy. Okay, speaking of folks who need a good talking to, there's those folks over at Search Engine Journal, huh? John Mueller puts out a tweet the other day, yesterday actually, written to Search Engine Journal. I should have written to Lauren, but it's to SE Journal. It's kind of awkward. You're publishing a guide on how to break our terms of services and webmaster guidelines. Hmm. So about all that information that you guys pass on to other people, or how about that information you took from MasterCard about consumer habits the other day without telling MasterCard users and stuff, Google. What do you think? Is it kind of awkward for Google employees to read Search Engine Journal talking about techniques that would, I guess, technically violate the terms of service?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, it won't need to be bleak. A bit of BS, really, is what this is. I mean, and I'm not one, like, I understand terms of service. I understand guidelines. To be clear for our listeners, we're not talking about black or even gray hat strategies here. It was a technique to pull some content, some information on content. It did involve scraping the search results. I get that is a violation, of the terms of service. But there we are, right? Like, I mean, this isn't some sort of assault on Google. So for this to be the thing that Google looks at and goes, you know, does a reaction to and goes, you shouldn't be talking about violations of our terms. I don't even understand why this was really an issue. Like, again, I understand why you can't scrape the results, but this isn't why that rule is there, really. I didn't even understand why it took the reaction. I thought it was actually kind of a neat technique. I don't really get even why this was a big deal. Maybe there's stuff going on I don't know about. maybe John just wanted to, you know, say, hey, stop doing this about everything. Or maybe it was like a don't talk about Fight Club, you know, kind of scenario. And we don't want to open the gates for the next violation that might come after, and they'll get a little more serious each time or something like that. Or there might be something in this technique that I haven't read far enough into with like a black hat on. You know, and going, oh, okay, I can now use this for other more, you know, nefarious means, and you know, Google would want us to hide that. But I think it was a perfectly fine article to write, you know, whether you use the technique or not, and risk your IP violating the terms, you know, get a proxy, right, get it done. But and now all of a sudden John's going to talk about our show, and that'll probably be great.
Waiting for this. Luckily, I don't read my Twitter feed, so it's all good. Fire away at Jim Hester, please. But my grandma, oh, no, she doesn't read it either. Okay, but Google has had a problem with people. You remember our ranking reports? That's scraping Google results. Google's got a problem with that because of a bandwidth issue. I remember like years ago when there was only thousands of us rather than hundreds of thousands of us. Google had a problem with the monthly end of month. Let's slow everything down to a crawl by everybody running ranking reports at exactly the same time.
Yeah.
I honestly, personally, I still have a hard time, given Google's scale, I have a hard time seeing that being a real cog on their back. But, you know, like, in the Stepforth days, we had like 50 clients going at any given time. That was like the results for, I don't know, on average, what, 20 to 25, 30 keyword phrases each. So, and we weren't a huge agency. We were like, you know, a large, small agency, right?
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, we were a large, small agency. Like that was an all day affair running ranking reports from us. So imagine an iCrossing or Bill Hunt's outfit or something. The kind of data that they would be chunking through Google. Also, some of this article is about how to use Screaming Frog to like scrape results out of Google.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're running a text running report. I mean, like you're running Screaming Frog into Google server. And it's not just you, it's you and 100,000 people just like you. So, you know, I think this is a resource issue.
Well, and if you're right, and it is, and you may well be, where they're going, you can't do this en masse, and that would be a legitimate thing. There once upon a time, and if I remember correctly, it was deprecated in like 2006 or something, but I used to use it for ranking reports. There used to be a search API we could use. You know, and you could go in through the API and get results, and you were allowed to scrape with it, and then they deprecated it, but it still worked for a little while, and then it just went away. Well, yeah, give me an API. I'll buy it, right? Like, I'll pay you, right, for the whopping fraction of a cent my query is going to cost you in bandwidth, you know, in machine power. Just if it's a bandwidth problem, just let us do it and charge us for it, because I would, you would. Probably everybody would. It'd be pennies. You know, Bill would probably do it, and it would cost him more than pennies, I suspect.
Yeah, but he's got clients who can afford that. You know, like I think Earth is Bill's client. So you know, the king of Earth is Bill's client.
All right, where should we now? Do we have time for another story, or should we head to break and come back with some?
It's about time for break. So yeah, but you go to break, then we can actually devote some time to a story. So on behalf of Dave Davis from Peace Talk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger of Digitalis Media. You are listening to Webcology on webmasterradio.fm on the 6th of September, oh my God, 2018. Stick around. More great content coming up after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology. We'll be back after this short break. Content Marketing World 2018 comes to Cleveland, Ohio, September 4th through the 7th. Learn more at contentmarketingworld.com.
Content Marketing World 2018 is the one event where you will learn and network with the best and brightest in the content marketing industry. Content Marketing World will have over 120 sessions and workshops presented by the leading brand marketers and experts from around the world, covering strategy, storytelling, ROI, demand generation, AI, and more. Leave Cleveland with all the materials you need to build a content marketing plan that will grow your business and inspire your audience. Save $100 off of registration using promo code RADIO100. That's radio and the number 100. Don't miss Content Marketing World 2018 in Cleveland, Ohio, September 4th through the 7th. Register now at contentmarketingworld.com.
Are you looking for the best in WordPress speed, security, and scalability? WP Engine is a digital experience platform for WordPress, powering digital experiences for large brands around the world. With easy-to-use site management tools and powerful do-it-your-way development features, WP Engine gives you the flexibility to build it your way. Improve your SEO and conversion rates with a faster site on WP Engine. Learn more on WPEngine.com.
It's time once again to get ready for the 35th Annual Miami Book Fair, November 11th through the 18th. Learn more at MiamiBookFair.com. Over 500 authors will be coming in from all over the world to read their books, answer questions from the audience, and sign autographs. Award-winning luminaries confirmed to attend this year include novelists like Elliot Ackerman, Robert Olin Butler, Ingrid Rojas Contreras, and Deborah Dean. Nonfiction writers like Dr. Mark Agronin, Muhammad Al-Samawi, Andrea Barnett, and Tina Brown. Celebrities like Justine Bateman, Steve Kornacki, Bill Press. These are just a few of the confirmed 500 authors scheduled to appear at the 2018 Miami Book Fair, November 11th to the 18th. Check out the full schedule of events right now at MiamiBookFair.com. That's MiamiBookFair.com.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Off. Now back to
Webcology,
only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's the 6th of September, 2018. This is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media and Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing. The Americans send their kids back to school much earlier than we do, but in Canada, kids just went back to school on Tuesday, the day after Labor Day, and It's kind of like a reset for the year. It's like everything that happens after Labor Day is like the like New Year's Day sort of, right? Like, and that's just the way I always think of Labor Day, because you know that's the tradition. That's when the school year begins. It's like when your fiscal year begins, right?
Except
much more interesting. The other thing about September and about Labor Day that kind of freaks me out, beyond the fact that we're Canadian and Labor Day means it's about to get like unspeakably cold in most of the country.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm from that one little bastion of place where it doesn't, but all right.
Where there will be an earth-shattering kaboom one day because of an earthquake. Anyway.
Right. Touche.
If you were here, though, you'd break in half because you were frozen. Okay, but the other thing that happens in around Labor Day, aside from the beginning of hockey season, is Christmas. And yeah. I know we mention this every year because it happens every year. Otherwise, we wouldn't. We'd stop. But they keep planning it, and they keep holding it on December 25th, if I don't miss my guess. And it's coming sooner than you think. Well, not sooner than you think, Dave, because you've been telling your clients for years that today's the day. Get on it.
Yeah. Yeah, indeed. I mean, you know, it's this truly is, and the time of year when the carol rings through my head, the most wonderful time of the year. Not only are children back in school, which is great, but yeah, you're right. It's time, or it was a couple months ago, or you know, hopefully you started shortly after the holidays last year. But it is definitely that time to start getting your crap together. And make sure that you're prepped for the holiday season. And this will mean you know, everything from, you know, making sure that your you know, e-commerce system is you know, sort of up to snuff to rank for those product queries, get that scheme in there, you know, get those review stars in there, you know, to fine tuning your paid search campaign and making sure that you've got, you know, that you're ready to maximize your conversions and that your landing pages are in good shape. Yeah, it's definitely time to ready for the most wonderful time of the year for retail anyway.
This may come as some surprise to you, Dave, but more than 99.999% of our listeners are not Jeff Bezos.
Okay. Really?
Now, that shocked the hell out of me, but I Brasco told me, and he always tells the truth, so I'm pretty sure it's true. The vast majority of our listeners are not Jeff Bezos. So to all of those people who aren't Jeff, if you are Jeff Bezos, just chill, dude. Like, you got nothing to worry about, man. But if you're not Jeff Bezos, that dude's going to eat your lunch if you don't get it together, like, now. Like, really, that's what he's trying to do.
Absolutely. And you know what? Something I'm gonna note here, and I'm not going to toot my own horn because, Jim, you'd have done the same thing. I just happened to publish an article on it because the client allowed me to, which was great because a lot of clients don't let you get specific about what you've done. And a couple weeks ago, well, I guess about a week and a half ago, I published an article over on Search Engine Land. And it was on just a couple tweaks that I had made. The client had found me from Search Engine Land article I'd written on internal linking structures and just wanted to hire me just to do an audit of his internal linking structures. The recommendations made, you know, it was like Roger catching that thing on our site. The recommendations were nothing, you know, I don't think he'd ever seen or thought of before. It was just an outsider with an SEO's eyes put it on there and said, just do this, your internal linking structure. The impact, and I mean impact inside of a week, was astronomical. Like, double-digit improvements in traffic, big jumps in ranking. We're going on to the next stage. Now, the reason I bring this up isn't to go, yeah, I'm great. It was a wonderful experience. I'm glad the client's happy. But you would have done it. You know, a lot of experienced SEOs would have done, you know, would have done the same thing I did to this site. But what's really important about it to me is it was really easy to implement. The client was on it and had this stuff implemented inside of like a day. It was quick, easy, and had dramatic impact. So there are things you can still do, is what I'm getting at. If you need to rank for the holidays, this was an e-commerce site that needed to rank for those category and product terms, and now it does like a matter of a couple of weeks. So it can be done, and that's the sort of wins I think people need to look for here. Don't go, I need to engage in some massive link building. You know, yeah, do, but that's for, you know, the holidays 2019, right? Like, let's you know, start in now and look for those quick win areas. At least that's my opinion.
Not only is it your opinion, it's your direct experience. Like, you did this. The effect was they got a lot more traffic and presumably a lot more sales, right?
They did, and they're actually very nicely timed because this is their most wonderful time of the year, is fall. So it worked out well for them.
Interestingly, a week ago, I guess like a week ago yesterday, on the 31st, a day after our show, because all the good stuff always happens the day after our show.
Oh.
John Mueller, in one of his hangouts, basically said what you just said. If you're going to be one of the pieces of low hanging fruit that you can mess around with, not only safely but to great effect, is anchor text. And I'm assuming that you were changing your client's anchor text to make it clearer, to make the content that link led to a little more, clarified, or you were providing information about where the link would be leading to?
That was a big part of it. Yeah, was adjusting the anchor text exactly like, to your point, exactly what John's talking about.
Yeah, so really, as SEOs, I'm going to give a brand mention, I apologize, but you know that Claritin Allergy Medicine, they have that Claritin Man commercial driving around like the ice cream truck giving away happiness, joy, and most importantly, clarity of mind and spirit?
Yep.
That's who we are as SEOs. We're like the clarity people. And if you, if no, seriously, it's like everyone's content is king. No, clarity is king. Content is what gives you clarity. Content is what explains the offering. Like, that's what people are looking at. Google and all that stuff is looking for. But everyone's got content. Most of it's crap. Clarity is king.
That is very true. I think we've all read a bunch of, or landed at a site where you're like, really? I think I'm dumber now.
Well, those are all the sites that are trying to give away or break Google's terms of service by telling you how to destroy. Well, no, it's not. Actually, I take that back. Search Engine Journals I just realized I was talking about SEJ, which is like the granddaddy of or one of the granddaddy newspapers. Also, the one that I'm reading off of right now to talk about how to better improve Google's perception and, most importantly, users' perceptions of your website. So, when you say that it happened to great effect, what are we talking? Like 50% more traffic?
Right now we're at about the time where I was writing this piece, we were at about the 27-28%. But what's really critical, like from my standpoint, because there were other problems with the site, this was just mission number one, is what we had was a whole whack of terms, and I mean hundreds of terms, all of which had reasonable, I limited it to like stuff that had more than 50 estimated organic clicks or searches per month, included all of those in there, and it took a whack of them from, I only ran it to the 100, so not in the top 100, and pushed them all forward into, say, the number, sort of 15 to 35 range, right? So now our next set of work, where we're going to begin working on content and content structures and things like that. Okay, if you'd asked me before we did this, how are we going, how is this going to work? I would have had to say, I have no idea. We're going to try some content and hopefully it'll work. But to your point, yeah, we're the architects of things. That's our job. And now with the proper architecture, I can now look at those pages and go, oh, okay, it's sitting in number 17. Now that's a good jumping off point. So now mm-hmm. let's begin our next set of work into content and address those issues. What I suspect, and we're about to launch into the content section of things, is it's going to be a catalyst for now they're all of a sudden going to be a bunch of page one. I would be surprised, and I'll report back whether I was right or wrong. I would be surprised if we didn't start to see at least doubling or tripling of traffic. And we're going to start section by section, so I should be able to report back pretty quickly and go, when we did this section, the overarching traffic increase into that section was X, and I'll let people know what that was, and with the client's permission, actually report back on, and here's the sorts of things that we did with this content to accomplish that.
Okay, I can share similar stories, and I just want to point out to the listeners that, no offense, Dave, but neither Dave or I are rocket scientists. We're just, diligent, hardworking, like shovels in the trenches, SEOs kind of guys. And this, I guess what makes a really good SEO is application of acquired knowledge. But it's not like there's a lot of tricks involved. It's just doing work,
Well, that's it. Like, you clearly, and it, part of that is just the years that both of us have put into it is, obviously very helpful. But I suspect you can too, only because I remember standing on a deck and you going over, external link architectures. Now, for our listeners, you go like, why would you do that? It was like 2001.
No, that's why.
This was an okay conversation to be having back in, in that age. Speaking of violations of terms of service and webmaster guidelines, but
there was
we were floating the hell out of them, actually, to be honest.
But you, the ability to, when you're looking at something like a link architecture, you know, we're talking about this, like the internal structures or how page layouts work, there is something to be said for just experience and the ability, I think, that lends to being able to visualize what the math behind the change will do without actually necessarily having to run every calculation. Like, I do like to, I mean, if nothing else, it's neat to have as a reference point and go, ah, oh, this is how PageRank flows in this new architecture. But I already knew the changes before I ran the calculations, right? You can sort of go, okay, you do this, and I wouldn't even need to run the calculations to know. And I'm sure you're in the same boat. You can just visualize it now in your head and go, yeah, I know when I make this change, it's going to look good for users, and the math of it is going to flow PageRank properly through my site, and every link I add here is you know, going to be a train wreck. I don't want to start adding too many.
Back in that, and actually, I do want to get to that point. There is a too many to what we're talking about right now. But back in the days when we used to actually have to think through our link architecture and the massive footprint of links that were being created out there pre-Penguin days. But even back before Florida, Google wasn't very smart. Like, that was the problem. We had to do Google's the work that Google does naturally. We were doing for helping it do for it by informing it on what was on page. Now, I mean, and then we were doing that, you know, titles, meta tags, link structures, and anchor text, both internal and incoming anchor text, all that sort of stuff, right? Now Google figures out most of the stuff on its own. I mean, Google's incredibly Google is so smart, in fact, that it's become it's introduced a sort of a new search engine of sorts, a one answer engine. And this, I saw this one rolled across my feed this morning, and I got to tell you, man, my gut tightened, and I thought, okay, this is that the end of the 10 blue links is actually very real, ain't it?
Yeah.
Did you see this one about the one answer, the Omnibox?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I did. So, I don't know how I feel about that, but tell us what the story is.
It's the whole thing, dude. I mean, like, we've talked about it. We just haven't talked about the way they're introducing it, but we've talked about the effect of what's going to happen. Okay, so you guys might have noticed those personal assistant devices that everybody's using that you do voice search over. If they're hooked up to a monitor somehow, then they can return you 10 blue links that you can pursue. But many of them are just, you know, you're conversing with your search device. Home, how tall is the Empire State Building? Well, there's not 10 answers on that question. There's one answer to that question. And so you don't need 10 blue links to provide an answer to how tall is the Empire State Building.
Right.
Google pops up, ask Mike Grehan. Because, you know, Mike has an office in this. But no, Google will pop up. Now Google will have, using in Chrome 69, the newest version of Chrome being released, has a new feature called the Omnibox. Type in your search query, and instead of going to a Google search results page, Google will just pop up a box of, like a little text box that gives you the answer to the question you were asking. How many feet in a mile? Floomp, there's your answer. You can tell I'm not using it because I haven't a clue how many feet are in a mile.
I don't either right now. But
1,000 meters in a kilometer, you know? Like,
How much damage? I mean, one of the examples listed, right? Weather in New York City. Right. Okay. That's all well and good. I understand that, you know, I've got my devices sitting in front of me and they need to give me one that doesn't necessarily show the domain. One could argue that they should. But one of the, like, oh my goodness moments I'm having with this one is now I don't even need to view a search results page. Okay, let's take voice out of it and go, okay, that's fine because that's just a natural there and then that's just the nature of the beast. And nobody's going to get their sort of credit. But Google's now taking content from, and you know where I'm going on this because it's my same rant I always put when Google does stuff
Absolutely.
Like this. is yeah. Google's taking somebody's content, and now not only do they not get the click, not only that, but their domain name doesn't even show up anymore.
Awkward.
It's like, oh my goodness. Like, how much can you take away from somebody? And my big problem, I'll end this rant in just a second. My big problem is, who is left to produce any quality content?
Mueller!
If they get no credit for it and they have no monetization strategy. It's killing me. Where do we expect these sports scores and weather to come from, right? Like,
Mueller!
Where are they covering?
All right. I expect John Mueller to hold a hangout every time the Jays, the Leafs, the Raptors, or Toronto FC play. They're the ones I could care less.
All right. That could be kind of fun, though.
It could be, because he hates hockey, from what I understand. He hates hockey. Ugh. So, you know.
No accounting for some taste.
Obviously a Habs fan.
Well played.
Thank you. And yeah, it's hard. Like, if musicians don't get paid, then music don't get created. And well, the same sort of thing with good content and webmasters. And I don't think that we're in any danger of running out of webmasters. Webmasters are like lawyers. There's too damn many of them to begin with. But no, there's not. There's not too damn many webmasters to begin with. It's just too damn many chasing after the jobs I'm chasing after. and that's actually not true either. But I was going to say about putting up crappy content, but this has been the content show, so I didn't want to go there either. We need a script, Dave.
So, I know.
As we get older, we got to get scripts. It's just make life much easier. Okay, what's next? We got time for one more story before we got to take our last break.
All right. Well, let's go with. Oh, I got that. I was about to go to one that I'm like, oh no, we're gonna dig in here. You know what? Let's go with. Over at Search Engine Land, there was a great article, and I can only touch on it, which is makes this a great one to go to. It's by Joe Martinez from back on September 4th. Any of our listeners who do any kind of paid search, specifically on Google, and those are the examples he's giving here. The article is how to use if functions to speak to different audiences. And these are, you know, you can do if this, then this sort of functions built into your ad copy. So if the device is this, show this title. If the device is this, show this title. You can use it in remarketing. If my audience did this, then this title, right? Or if this, then this ad. That's all I'll say about it, save to say, because there's so many examples. Anybody who has any, you know, sort of remembers any kind of coding or can imagine what the word if means, you know, which should be everybody, hopefully. Basically, what it gives you the power to do is specify very significant changes built right into your individual ads to go, in this situation, do this, whereas if you're in this situation, do that. It was one of those things that as I'm reading the article, I'm like, I know this, I've even used it, but I don't use it enough. And I can think of examples with clients we have right now that because I have to redo a bunch of ads thanks to the expanded text ads, and we've already started, but you know, the change to three headlines, we've got a bunch. I'm going to be using this. For any of our listeners who use Google Ads, used to be AdWords, just clarifying because I had a client make that sort of mistake just earlier today and didn't understand what I meant by Google Ads. Give it a read. It's over on Search Engine Land from 2 days ago. It's on the if function. Joe Martinez, even if you are familiar with it, it's a good little review, as it was for me, on just sort of how to use this if function and some of the power that it can have. If you've never used it, get over there. Give it a peruse. You may not use it if it's a little over your head and you might have other things to do, but it's still a great read just to know what power is out there so that when you hit that point, you'll know what to do.
Brilliant. Okay, and well, we've hit this point. We're on the show. We got to take a break. So we're actually pretty close. So on behalf of Dave Davies from BeanStalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Petrick from Digital Always Media. You're listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. It is the 6th of September, 2018. We're back after these messages.
Sit tight and don't move.
Webcology.
We'll be back after this short break.
There are over 70 million active podcast listeners in the U.S. Webmasterradio.fm reaches them all with the largest global distribution of any online business-to-business podcast network. Through iHeartRadio, iTunes, Stitcher, and the Webmasterradio.fm mobile app, we can target and place your message in front of those active listeners immediately. Now, your message can be delivered with less commitment and investment on over 20 hours of weekly original content hosted by the most respected names in digital marketing, thanks to an exclusive private offer available for a very limited number of companies. But you must act fast. Email BRASCO at WMR.FM and get your message delivered now.
The Web Marketing Association is now accepting entries for its 7th Annual International Mobile Web Award Competition. This award program is an opportunity for mobile developers to demonstrate their expertise in this growing medium. It recognizes the individual and team achievements of web professionals all over the world who create and maintain outstanding responsive and mobile websites and mobile applications. Deadline for entry is September 28, 2018. Submit your entry today at www.mobile-webaward.org. That's mobile-webaward.org.
Where affiliate marketing gets its buzz and mobile has its presence. Webmasterradio.fm. Online anytime. We're everywhere.
Off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Webcology at WebmasterRadio.fm. We are in the home stretch here on the 6th of September 2018, and actually we're in the home stretch for the entire year. Still warm out, get out there while you can, because it's going to be awfully cold soon. Unless, of course, you live in Texas near David Ogletree, who I don't know if his tongue is in his cheek or not, but he did write, you could always scrape a Google partner and said, like, AOL. you can just remember that net neutrality has been canceled in America and Verizon will throttle you. Verizon will throttle you. And actually, did that just happen? I think it was Verizon and AT&T busted, like, throttling on Netflix and YouTube videos.
Yeah.
If you guys are going to screw over, like, every consumer in the United States, at least give them a couple months. Like, you know, grandfather this in. Do it in, I don't know. I feel terrible for internet consumers who... Or California firefighters who find that the ISPs are throttling their bandwidth just because they can. Oh, my goodness.
I know.
Rapaciousness and greed. It's terrible, eh? And yeah. I'm all for rapaciousness and greed. I'm a capitalist.
I was going to say, I'm like, I get where you're going and what you mean by that. I'm okay with greed.
But you know what? Making money is good. Making money is good. That's why we're doing all of this. But screwing people to make money, not so good.
Right.
You know, there's just so many ways to make money on this incredible internet. Screwing people, not a good way to make money on the internet. Unless, of course, you're Stormy Daniels, in which case, you know, make more per hour than I do. So that sounded so funny in my head.
Yeah. Well, it's a good reference point. This is one of those things, yeah, it's
the argument immediately became invalidated, right? Like the long term, and you and I have debated this on stages many times. I opposed you on it. I mean, because it made for a good conversation. Was like, yeah, this regulates itself. You know, consumer protection is there. What I think I didn't see was the dismantling of net neutrality and consumer protection simultaneously. But anyway, on to other stories, and we've got a big one. I assume you. You read this. It was from this morning. I don't know. We've only mentioned Barry Schwartz like three times so far on this show, so let's toss in a fourth. And over on Search Engine Roundtable announced, and normally he says, doesn't say, I'm seeing a big update. He says, you know, there's rumors, right? Which is normally the case, and he reports well on that. He actually just reports on what is being reported on. In this case, all the tools are lighting up. He's seeing changes, like significant ones. And if you look at the results from the tools, they're you know, in a lot of cases, like weather report, Moz weather reports, and you know, stuff like that. It depends on which one you like. But it does appear that there is a significant update. Just rolling out right now. I've been looking at some clients. And I'm haven't had a chance since I got this to do a thorough deep dive into all of them thus far. I've only checked three, and hey, it's good for all three of them. But you know, who knows? And of course, you know whether this sticks and whether that cascades to all of them. But there definitely is some significant movement going on right now. Some significant adjustments. They haven't been, to my knowledge at this point, confirmed or denied on Google's end, but it definitely looks like something's going on.
It does. And a couple things to keep in mind when investigating this sort of stuff. It often takes a couple of days for a algo change to play out. So you might see fluctuations in your ranking or in your traffic volumes. If they go up, enjoy it. If they go down, don't panic. It might change. Like, give it a day or two, study it. One thing I always do is I look at people who are commenting on who are making lots of comment on a story, and then I go look at their websites that I can find out that if I can find out they're responsible for a site, I like to see what they've been up to. And you know, oh, I see why this guy's complaining, because like that content is begging for trouble. Right. Or whatever. I'm gonna throw this to Majestic and see what comes up, right?
Right.
Keep in mind that a lot of the people who make comment when algo shifts happen because they've been affected by it, they've been affected adversely.
Right.
Because you don't often see people who, you know, if my clients are doing better in the SERP, do you know what I do? I go up back and have a beer. Because there's nothing I have to do. I write a good report, and then they give me money, and I go buy beer. It's a great system.
Well, you're right. I mean, it's an interesting scenario. I remember once upon a time, Jim, I used to be able to say to this, every time you lose a position, right? Like people, well, and the rankings are now worse. Well, no, every time you lose one ranking, somebody has replaced it. Like there's only so much room in the top 10, and if you are no longer there, I used to be able to say, well, somebody else is. So it's a zero-sum game. Now, statistically, we're actually reduced. I think it's 8.4 results from the top 10 now. You know, they're there, so we are actually losing a bit of ground there, but the principle is still sound. It's not personal, and you may hear about a whole bunch from people who've lost rankings. For every person who did, somebody has just gained, right? And so to your point, it does pretty much zero out, right? Like if you've lost something, somebody's gained it, they're just not on the same forums, you know, complaining because they don't want to be.
And quite frequently in algorithm shifts, people, how to say this, like Dave just said, people don't actually lose ranks. Like it's not like you got penalized. It's that somebody was doing much better. And you know, only X number of places,
8.4 spots to go in a top in the top 10 rankings these days. The important thing, of course, is like don't panic and maybe work with the internal like anchor texter, something easy. but again, more importantly, like evaluate big time. Take the time that you would be panicking to evaluate the website and look for any weirdness, anything that's unclear, and then start problem solving from that point. Don't start problem solving from the oh my god, I've got a problem point.
No, indeed. And I always like to, and I know you've been to this rodeo long enough, and it's hard with clients often, but just take a beat. Like, yes, investigate what the sites that have now moved up around you have been doing. Yeah, 100%. That's something you want to do. And heck, you can do that now because that information may be useful later. But definitely a scenario where the best course of action, 9 times out of 10, unless you've got like weird warnings in Search Console or something, is just take a minute, see if it sticks. Because yeah. I can't count the number of times that, you know, all of a sudden things have gone great and I've celebrated, called up a client for like 3 days later to go, oops, yeah, it's right back where it was. Right? Like, oh, actually, it only moved up a position from 14 to 13. It looked like it went to number 8. Right? And it did for 3 days and then sort of settled in. So you don't want to celebrate too early. Don't go changing a bunch of stuff too early. Investigate, keep your eyes open, and, you know, probably wait unless you can actually see something, because there are all often those fixes where you're like, yeah, well, it's just a good thing to do anyway. But like, regardless of whether this works or not, and if you are just itching to do something, just look for something that is just good. Produce some good quality content for your blog. Right? Like, just do something good.
Okay, and on that, we're done. Full time, full hour. We've gone around the clock again. So, friends, on behalf of Dave Davies from Beanstalk Internet Marketing, this is Jim Hedger from Digital Always Media. You've been listening to Webcology and WebmasterRadio.fm. We are around next week and the week after and the week after. But the week after that is my 50th birthday. So maybe I'll be here. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be like somewhere else entirely. Who knows? But seriously. 50th birthday, like, you know, my 40th birthday, I went to New York and got hired by Webmaster Radio. So we'll see what happens this time.
Hey, it's looking promising.
It is. Maybe they'll keep me around for another 10. Okay, friends, we're out of here. On behalf of Dave Davies, this is Jim Hedger. Have a great week. Stay safe. We'll talk to you next week.
The opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of WebmasterRadio.fm's management or sponsors. Any rebroadcast or redistribution without authorized consent of WebmasterRadio.fm is prohibited.